I am Lyle Gorenstein, a member of the Division of Cardiothoracic Surgery at New York Presbyterian Hospital and the Director of Minimally Invasive Thoracic Surgery. Achalasia is a disorder of the esophagus of unknown etiology, which means we don't know why it occurs. There's a problem in the musculature of the esophagus, and as a result, the normal peristalsis, or the contraction waves which propel food down the esophagus, are absent. Associated with lack of peristalsis of the esophagus is a problem with the sphincter at the lower end of the esophagus. This sphincter is where the esophagus ends and the stomach begins. Its normal function is to prevent food or acid or other gastric contents to reflux back into the esophagus. In patients who have gastroesophageal reflux disease or GERD, the lower esophageal sphincter is lax, and this allows contents from the stomach to regurgitate back into the esophagus. In patients who suffer from achalasia, the opposite is present. The lower esophageal sphincter is tense, or also it has a abnormal elevated pressure. Associated with the increased pressure in the sphincter is absence in relaxation. Typically, when you swallow, as the food bolus moves down the esophagus, the lower esophageal sphincter relaxes to allow it to pass into the stomach. And once it's gone into the stomach, it then contracts to prevent regurgitation back into the esophagus. In achalasia, this sphincter fails to relax. And as such, patients who have this problem have difficulty in eating. And over time, they wind up losing significant amounts of weight and reducing their food intake from solids to often liquids or a variety of consistencies which allow them to eat. We don't know why this occurs, but it typically comes on in patients above the age of 40 and increases in incidence as patients age, with the highest incidence in patients in the 60 to 70 year old range. It affects both men and women equally. Often patients will have symptoms for years before they seek medical attention because they come on gradually, and patients may adapt their lifestyle, and often the symptoms may fluctuate initially, being worse some days and better other days, so they often will not seek out medical attention. When patients with this problem do ultimately seek medical attention, aside from the difficulty eating, they often can present with weight loss, symptoms of respiratory problems such as aspiration, or chest pain. The diagnosis can be made on the basis of a barium swallow or upper GI study, and that entails drinking a small amount of barium and having an x-ray done. And that often shows the typical findings of achalasia, where there is significant narrowing of the lower esophagus, and this is described as a bird beak deformity. Once the barium study is done, which is characteristic of achalasia, patients will undergo manometry. During that evaluation, a small catheter with transducers is placed into the esophagus, which allows the measurement of the pressure waves in the esophagus. And this will characteristically show the abnormality associated with achalasia, where there is absent peristalsis in the body of the esophagus in association with failure of relaxation of the lower sphincter. Patients who present with symptoms of achalasia will also undergo an upper endoscopy in order to evaluate the inside of the esophagus to make sure there is no malignancy or stricture, which can sometimes mimic achalasia. There are a variety of medical therapies that can be tried in the management of achalasia. Sometimes patients will respond for a short period of time, but ultimately these therapies run their course or else they have minimal impact. Some of the medications that are used are nitrates or calcium channel blockers, which attempt to cause the lower esophageal sphincter to relax, as it is smooth muscle, and these chemicals have some impact on smooth muscle. But generally, the impact or the benefit is minimal, and patients need a mechanical solution to the lower esophageal sphincter. Botox therapy has a role in treating some patients with achalasia. Botox has some diagnostic benefits in patients who may be suspected of having achalasia, but either the manometry or the barium study are not conclusive. If Botox is injected into the lower esophageal sphincter and the patients clinically improve, that often is diagnostic of achalasia in conjunction with the other modalities such as manometry. If a patient who perhaps is quite elderly or frail has a late onset of achalasia, then Botox therapy could have a therapeutic role as well in improving that patient's symptoms and avoiding the need for a surgical procedure. However, the best form of therapy in patients with achalasia is surgical division or myotomy of the lower esophageal sphincter. There is now a minimally invasive surgical option for patients with achalasia. Previously, a transthoracic or a thoracotomy was required to gain exposure of the lower esophagus and the lower esophageal sphincter in order to divide the muscle. However, that is no longer necessary because of the advent of laparoscopic or minimally invasive surgery. And over the past 5 to 10 years, the transabdominal or laparoscopic myotomy associated with a partial fundoplication has really replaced all other forms of treatment for achalasia. It is minimally invasive. It requires a short hospitalization of usually a day or two. Patients return to work within several weeks, and the functional outcome is quite excellent. Surveys that evaluate quality of life after laparoscopic myotomy demonstrate excellent long-term results, far superior to any other modality which is available for treating achalasia.